You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded, Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people. Welcome to another edition of the Community Living Show on the NCRA Radio Network. That is throughout the broadcast of the National Campus and Community Radio Associations across Canada. And mostly we mostly focus on British Columbia in general. I'm Kelly Rayburn. Michael Rubin will be in here in just a moment just to try and find a parking spot for his... where to park his car as always. So he will be in shortly. I'm going to play you a little bit of, in the meantime, I'm going to play you a little bit of the Autism Live for about 18 minutes or so. This one is on the Shannon and Nancy speak on comedian Sam Tripoli about the upcoming Fullerton Cares of Comedy Show for Autism. Of course, if you want more information about what they do for autism, of course, Autism Lives is a production center for autism and related disorders known as CARD. They're headquartered in Woodland Hills, California. For more information about their autism skills and stuff, go to www.centerforautism.com. So here's the clip on Fullerton.
There are so many times when I wish you could be here during the breaks, and this was one of those times, you guys. I'm here, we're back.
Why don't you introduce Sam and then we'll...
Yes, we have with us in the studio Sam Tripoli, a stand-up comedian who is going to be the headliner for this year's Fullerton Cares comedy show.
Yes. And he's funny. I can guarantee you the last
funny,
couple of minutes.
And he and Nancy, we want to put in some mud here and just let them go for it.
I'm in. I'm all in.
It got back close.
I ain't afraid to get weird. I'll get weird for charity. Let's do it. Mud wrestling for a charity. Let's get in it.
I'm having trouble breathing.
Do I look like the guy from Revenge of the Nerds, don't I?
I was going to say, you're a pretty sharp dresser.
Thank you. I'm trying to dress nice and impress the ladies.
I always forget how great plaid looks on camera. So yeah. You're rocking that.
I wasn't sure because sometimes you don't want to wear white on camera. Like, no white on camera. I think that was like a way back in the day before they fixed that.
No, way back in the day. There's no rules. There's stripes,
it's
everything.
Chaos.
No, white still isn't okay for us.
But it looks good, though. I mean, it's popping.
But that's
plaid, and plaid always looks good on camera.
Thank you. So. It is.
Let's talk about Sam
and what Sam does, because this, I was thinking of this as a departure for Fullerton Cares, because you host something called The Naughty Show.
Yes, yes.
And we asked if you were going to be naughty, and you come from a particular bent with comedy that involves burlesque.
Burlesque and adults, talking adult stuff. It's like risque, like you said. It's
risque
comedy.
Yeah. Okay.
I've always thought, people, you work hard during the week, you know, you grind 9 to 5, and you just want to go and release and have a little fun and get a little risque, you know? We've done it at the World Famous Comedy Store. It's one of the biggest shows in Hollywood. We have our own permanent residence in Las Vegas. We do it at Plant Hollywood once a month. And so now we're doing it in Fullerton, and Fullerton gets it, man. They get it. They had Super Naked last time. Now we got this one. I think just because it's a charity event doesn't mean it can't be a little risque, right?
Well, absolutely. Now, when is the event this year? And it's for the sixth consecutive year.
And it just gets bigger.
And it's on?
October 19th. 19th, yes,
yeah,
October
Wednesday,
19th.
Wednesday, October 19th, and you
it's
also,
a Wednesday.
In addition to the risque Sam Tripoli,
boom.
You've got the number one burlesque group in L.A., Les Dolls.
Miss Dakota, she's traveled the world.
Whoa.
She's done it all over the world. She has this amazing
troupe. Look at you in a tux, Sam.
Yeah, I bring
you're
heat.
Sharp.
Look at that. Look at that man heat.
You are a dresser, Sam.
Thank you. I like to dress up. I look good in a suit. I look good in a suit.
I bet you do.
So I like, you know, we have the best burlesque dancers. Then we have three of the hottest young comics in Los Angeles. The Nari Show always brings the best comedians. And it's just going to be like an hour, 2 hours of just really fun, crazy comedy. And it's the best of everything.
And it's the best of everything because it goes to support Fullerton Cares, which tell us a little bit about that. Acceptance, awareness, and action are the pillars of Fullerton Cares. And where is that located?
In Fullerton. That's basically where it's located. I don't know.
The dog.
North Orange County, to be exact, I thought, you know.
Yeah. It's not code or it's not a riddle. It's in Fullerton. And basically, these two guys, you can't see them off camera.
They're out.
Larry and Nick, who
Hi,
look
Larry
like
Nick.
They're bounty hunter / tow truck drivers, were nice enough that they put this event
everybody
on.
Everybody started scattering when they walked in the
building. Yeah. They're coming for your cars, everybody. And which is a funny charity. You ever hear of Cars for Kids? They want your car. Like, who doesn't need their car? Who's just going to give them your car? Like, you want this plaid shirt, but you want my car. What am I going to do? I need a car. But the point is that these guys have been putting this together for 5 years, and last year was a huge success, was a packed house, and they wanted to mix it up, you know? So it's like year six, so you did 5 years of straight comedy, and that was great. Let's do a little. Let's bring in some burlesque dancers. Let's bring in a fun DJ, and let's like have a crazy crowd. We're gonna have giveaways in the show. We'll give away some fun stuff for everybody, and it's gonna be an hour or two of power. It's gonna be a lot of fun.
Okay.
I guarantee you, you won't forget about it.
To come out, you can go to Fullerton Cares.
Are you coming out?
I'm gonna try
and
come out.
I think it'd be fun if we both went.
FullertonCares.com.
It's a Wednesday,
you
so that's
go,
you know.
Yeah, I want everybody to.
We're people who go to bed at 7:30 on Wednesdays. But
what time do you get up?
Go to bed at 7:30, but you know, we've got the kids, you know, on the spectrum.
It's
a
son
with autism.
Night.
I'm a single mom.
I respect that. I respect that.
But for this, you know, we'll make an exception. We'll make an effort.
Once again, we want to say.
Will you ladies dance in the show? Some burlesque?
Absolutely.
Okay, well, I
want to
talk about burlesque.
Can I get some lady
heat? I've never been to a burlesque show before. And so, like, what, for people who don't know, what can we expect? What is that going to be? How naughty are we talking?
Did you see the movie Burlesque?
No.
Have you been to any kind
did.
Of, do you love theater?
Who did?
I love the theater.
Well, imagine a show, instead of having acting, they just had all the dance.
Okay.
And all the dance sequences, and that's really what
the dancers are in rather skimpy.
Yeah, I mean,
like Vegas.
What do you want them to
Vegas.
Dance?
Vegas. Have you ever seen Vegas Showgirls?
Yes.
Well,
yes. So, well,
Showgirls was about strippers.
Oh, okay.
This one's about burlesque.
I'm not saying the movie.
Dancers.
I'm like, have you ever seen Vegas Showgirls?
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of like that.
Yeah, it's a.
But
it's
do they disrobe?
I mean, like, no, there's no nudity or anything
right,
that. It's
okay.
Like it's fun. Everybody can go have a good time.
Yeah.
It's not gonna destroy anyone's moral compasses. Everybody will have fun. There won't be any craziness or boycotting going on. This is for a good time and
a good cause.
And we should say this benefits autism and it benefits Fullerton Cares.
Right.
But it's not an autism event in terms of your comedy is not autism-based.
No.
This is there might be some things having to do with that, but this is a...
There's always going to be a couple
you
speakers.
You have a nephew with autism.
Yeah, I have a nephew.
Yeah. And, of course, you know Larry very well, who is was the founder, and Larry started this because he was inspired by his son.
Yes.
But
and
this is an evening of fun and comedy.
Absolutely.
Not a,
there
yes.
are always going to be charity
right.
events
right.
where you're going to get all the information on what's
this
going on.
This is not
on.
An educational event.
There will be a little, there's always some education going on. I always bring the education. I go 411 on everybody. So, but there'll be some obviously talk about, you know, what's happening with the funds made here. Nobody wants to just give their money and hope and pray.
Right.
So, you know, Larry Larry will probably have somebody there who will discuss where the funds will go and what difference we've made from year to year.
Almost $100,000 for local, you know, initiatives there. I mean, it's really impressive.
It is impressive. And, you know, he's doing out of love of his heart, which is why charities are, if you're going to go to a comedy show, go to a charity event. Just know that it's
well
going to a good event.
So I want to know,
for good cause.
I want to know, Sam, at what point in your life did you realize that this is what you wanted to do?
That's a great question. I always get asked, when did you know you wanted to be a stand-up comic? And the honest answer is, from the moment I realized I existed in the universe is the time I wanted to make people laugh, even though I didn't even know what stand-up was, the name for it, I always wanted to do it.
Okay, so, but did you know you were funny, like, when you were, like, a toddler?
I got funniest in sixth grade, and I got funniest. I was the only person to go to high school with the sole purpose to win class clown in his senior year. So from 7th to 12th grade, that's all I did was work on trying to get
Sam, was that a coping mechanism to hide some inner pain?
I'm sure. Some insecurity? Hey, I don't want that big guy punching me in the face. Maybe if I make him laugh. And, you know, I mean, like, when you're in high school, being funny isn't attractive to girls, but once you get to college, it totally changes the game. So I went from being really weird in high school to being very attractive to the ladies. But it was definitely a coping mechanism. I wasn't the fastest. I wasn't the strongest, the biggest, the most handsome. So, you know, you have to stand out somehow. And, yeah, that's how I did it. I loved it.
Who was the first stand-up that you saw that you went, oh, that's what that's called. That's what I want to do.
Well, I mean, I remember my dad playing old Eddie Murphy records and my mom freaking out on him. And I was like, I love this. What is this? And I, since then, always wanted to do it. See, I had to fight for attention in my house because my brother was the number one high school bowler in New York State.
Wow, God.
He was the best of the best. He was an eighth grader who hung out with grown men because he could bowl with 300s with both hands.
But I'm going to guess that he was not a chick magnet.
He actually had way more girls. Like I said, in high school, being bowling funny isn't attractive.
Bowling.
It's just not.
Bowling is
not
actually,
you know,
sexy.
Bowling?
Bowling is, dude, to be able to bowl with both hands. My brother was great at golf, and he was the number one high school bowler. He was the white Bo Jackson. And I lived in his shadow, which was weird because I was 2 years older than him. So it's like I had to find a way to get some attention.
Right.
And that's kind of how it did. So, you know, I've been blessed. I'm a regular at the World Famous Comedy Store, which is considered the mecca of comedy. Anybody who does stand up, their goal is to perform at the Comedy Store. I don't care where you're from. And I've been there for a long time. So a kid who was a C-plus student in high school has, you know, I've performed on every continent. I've done stand up everywhere. And next month I go to China. You know, I've been to Australia, Canada. It's so crazy. And thanks to, like, the internet and Netflix now, everybody knows everything. It's so crazy.
When do you get your own show?
We're working on it. I have a project at Comedy Central right now.
There we go.
Okay.
And so, but the real question is, what is your brother doing now that years ago he was the number one bowler? What's he doing now?
He runs a bowling alley. But I love him. If he sees this, he's going to get so mad at me. But no, he's great. He's, you know, he likes to manage. He likes to go in. My brother's kind of like that TV show where they flip bars. He loves to go into bars. He's like Patrick Swayze in Roadhouse now. Okay. Not so much with the fighting or the awesome hair. He just goes in, finds somewhere that's not doing well, turns around, flips it, and then he moves on to the next place. Ah. That's kind of what he does. He's really good. Me and him are the same person, but we just have different skill sets.
Yeah.
Fascinating. So for anybody who is watching this and loving this.
And wants bowling lessons, hit up my brother.
What a great charity event
100%.
To go to. Fullerton Cares. This is happening in Fullerton, which is in Southern California. And it's at the Fullerton Ballroom, which is on Commonwealth Avenue in Fullerton. It's Wednesday, October 19th.
7 to 10 p.m. You can go to.
But there's a pre-show reception at 5:30.
Oh, and you can they meet you?
Yeah.
And they can talk about
bowling. Handshakes. We talk bowling.
And this particular show, it's kind of like you're bringing the naughty show.
We're bringing Vegas to this charity.
All right.
Event.
Okay. All right. Well,
you can go to eventbrite.com, comedy show for autism.
But we can also, you can go to Fullerton Cares on Facebook and connect that way.
FullertonCares.com.
FullertonCares.com, amazing organization that we've featured many times here before on the show because we love Fullerton Cares.
Yes, we do.
They've set a model for communities all mm-hmm. over the country, all over the world.
It's one of the best
for
places
how to be supportive.
Yeah, to live if you have someone yes. with autism.
Shout
in
out
your family.
Fullerton.
It's okay. It's my retirement plan. I
okay.
Think. Gotta
get there. Can I go live in Fullerton?
Yes, I mean,
it's
they have
such
so
a
many
great
amazing
place
things.
For families.
Not the least of
great.
Which, they Larry has a fabulous bar there.
Yeah. Yes.
Bar and Grill.
Right.
Karaoke night is awesome. Have you ever
we
done that?
We were just talking.
Can we bring Ed Asher?
And I, boom, I hit it. I love it.
Okay. So I didn't know. So it's Bourbon Street. Okay, so we're not inviting him to go to
why? You didn't think I crushed that? I crushed that.
Okay.
There's a lot of dogs outside. They heard that pitch.
But the name of, it's Bourbon Street Bar and Grill in Fullerton. We have to give a shout out to them.
You
could do karaoke there.
Duet.
I did not
yeah,
know that.
Let's bring it. Yeah. Let's bring it karaoke.
We'll have to find some duets.
For sure. Me and you?
Yeah.
I like it.
Okay.
I like it.
So we encourage you guys. Go. Nancy and I are going to try to be there that night for the
maybe dance? A little dance on stage?
Don't ask too much of me on a Wednesday.
We'll make it rain. We'll make it rain.
This moneymaker will not be shaking on that night.
Come on.
I'll applaud while everyone else does. In any case, so thrilled. Should we talk about some of the past people that have been there? Do you know who the other comics are that are going to be there the night that you're going to be
yes.
there?
Yes. There is Greg Santos. You see him in several national commercials.
One of the funniest... was on the show last year, I think. Here,
no, that was another Latino lady.
George Perez.
That was George Perez. You know, these Latinos.
Have I not met?
They start
sound
the
alike.
Blend.
They sound
they
alike.
Start in Fullerton. They
I
all
we
blend.
Met
they all
maybe
like, Raiders! That's all they yell.
Maybe I've met Greg Santos.
Oh, he's very funny. Then there's a gentleman named Gareth Reynolds, who's on one of the most popular podcasts in the world called The Dollop. He's had his own show on MTV, a Comedy Central. He's one of literally the funniest dudes I know. I love him to death. And then there's a very funny young lady who's very risque. Her name is Jessica Michelle Singleton. Her album went to number one on iTunes recently. She travels the world, and she's literally not just... She's just one of the funniest comics out there, and she's one of the best female comics you ever see, but she's one of the best comics.
Don't leave out DJ Crash.
And then DJ Crash, who he DJs all the Playboy mansion parties, okay. And it's you know he's great too. So
bringing the funny.
Bringing the sexy, bringing Vegas to Fullerton.
Yeah, all right. Vegas to Fullerton, we're there.
Okay.
All right, you guys, get your tickets, support Fullerton Cares. Thank you so much
my
for being with us.
Calm down in the next
yeah, we have In the News to cover still. Thank okay. you guys for tuning in for this. We're going to take
Sam,
a break, and
a
then
pleasure.
We're going to be back with some news that's breaking. Oh, we're going to show the Fullerton Cares video right now
great.
As we go to break. So
okay.
take a look. This is wonderful. Fullerton Cares.
Hey, everybody. This is Joe Morisi. We're here live in Fullerton, California at the historic Fox Theater. And we're here tonight for the 4th annual comedy show for autism put on by the Fullerton Cares Foundation. And we're just hanging out outside the theater here. And we're going to go talk to some folks right now and see what brought them out tonight.
Please. My name is Larry Hauser. I'm the founder of the Fullerton Cares Autism Foundation. And the one putting on this whole event, me and my crew.
Larry, doing this for 4 years, what is it that you like best about this event?
What I like best about this event is there's a lot of people in this area that don't normally go to walks or any stuffy fundraiser events. This is something that those people don't come to, but they want to support. So that's why I really love this particular event is because of that.
A lot of fun. Now, who do I have the pleasure of speaking with here?
I am the Fullerton School District Board President, and I'm taking a lot of the money from tonight. This is a wonderful event, and we can't wait to have the comedy and raise the money for a worthy cause.
The events, try to help raise money for the events, and seems like I said, Larry seems to do all the work and get the crew going, and he just directs us around, and we try to pick up the cash for him.
Awesome, Brian. And Brian, what is it, in your 4 years coming to the event, what is it that you like the most about it?
The comedians. I mean, last year we had a full lineup. This year I think the lineup's going to be even better, and I mean, you can't beat it.
The event is the way that our community comes together, that everybody supports Fullerton Cares and supports the families that are part of Fullerton and that show up and create a really great environment for our kids to grow up in.
I'm actually out here to support my good friend Larry Hauser. Happy to be back and happy to support my buddy.
What I like the best is the amount of people that actually come out and support us and support the cause, because they know it's a good cause, it's a local cause, local charity. And so it's just nice to see the community come together for something that's for the community.
Okay, so that was the Fullerton Cares Comedy Now show for Autism, Sam Tripoli. And of course, you can check more about their information on Center for Autism, which of course is Autism Live that you just heard. Centerforautism.com, of course, they're from Woodland Hills, California, and their offices throughout the United States and around the globe. We will be back. Michael Rubin's here with a guest. We will be back in a moment. This is Community Living Show on the NCRA Radio Networks. The Global Accessibility Awareness Day is on the third Thursday of May of every year. The community and campus stations across Canada are hosting inclusive radio about accessibility, self-advocacy, adapted technology, and more. Contact your local stations to find out more.
The most powerful motivational speeches that I have ever heard came from people who told me I couldn't do something. You know why? Because when they told me I couldn't do it, I was bound and determined to show them that I could.
Did you know CITR has an accessibility collective? Our new collective serves to explore issues of inclusion, equity, and accessibility for people with physical and cognitive disabilities on campus and beyond. If you love making radio, listening to radio, or want to get involved for the first time, come join our collective. We include people of all abilities, experience levels, and backgrounds in the production and programming of our show. Tune in to our weekly show, All Access Pass, from 5 to 6 p.m. on Thursdays for interviews, music, news, events, and awesome dialogues. If you want to get involved, email accessibilitycollective@citr.ca.
Do you like sports? Are you looking for a way to give back to your community? Right to Play is an international organization that empowers kids through sports. Here at UBC, our volunteers work to provide equal opportunity for sport to children in the Vancouver area. We raise money to support Right to Play's global initiatives because we believe that
when children play, the world wins.
Check us out on our Facebook page and get involved today so that kids can be kids.
Hello and welcome back to the Community Living Show. My name is Kelly Rayburn. This is, again, the Community Living Show on the NCRA Radio Networks. That's the National Campus and Community Radio Association networks throughout British Columbia and throughout Canada. I'm, of course, Kelly. Michael's here.
Good morning, Kelly.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever, whoever
depending
you're...
on where you're listening, right?
Depending on where you're listening through the NCRA networks. Anyways, you brought us a guest. Tell us about the guest.
Well, she's an guest we've had on twice before, Laura Guzman.
Hello, hello.
Yeah.
And you're here to We were kind of talking about this before we went on air. Yes. The first time she came was with an event for fundraising for Operation Smile.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Then she came back and she told us that you were going to Toronto for
Miss a competition. Yes, for Miss Universe Canada.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then after you finished that, you left straight for Nicaragua.
After I finished that, we had a break of about 2 weeks, and then we went to Nicaragua to do a mission trip with Operation Smile. So it was a total of four girls, four of the finalists, and the organizers as well.
Yeah. So I guess that's what we're here to talk about, is the trip and what happened. And
yes, we're here to talk about the trip. It's really cool because I've been coming to tell you about the whole progress since everything started. So the first time that I came here, I talked about the fundraiser we were going to have for Operation Smile and our goal to raise funds for 100 children to get surgeries. Then I went on the competition, and then I got picked to be one of the people traveling in the mission trip, like with the doctors, the nurses, with the whole medical team,
right,
to do the surgeries on the children. So it was a very, I don't know how to describe it. I would say like a magical experience, but it was more than that because I actually got to meet the children and meet the families. And that was very heartwarming, you know, all their stories and all they've been through. So 2 weeks after the pageant, we embarked and went to Nicaragua for about 10 days. We traveled in four different cities, and we got in contact with the children from Operation Smile and SOS Children's Villages as well. So we were volunteering with the both of them. I can tell you that I watched a surgery happening live.
Wow.
I was able to experience that.
Mm-hmm.
So I met the mother and the child before going into the surgery room. And he was a little boy. His name was Nasser. And he had a cleft lip. So it wasn't a very difficult surgery. They just had to, like, reunite the lip.
Right.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So after that, we walked with the child into the operating room where the doctors and the nurses, the whole medical team was there. And we watched the whole thing happening live. It took about 45 minutes. And the most special time was when we took the baby, we walked down, and we gave it back to the mom.
Yeah.
So we gave it back to the mom. Like everyone, I was... Out of all the girls from Miss Universe Canada, I was the only one who spoke Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
But the mom started talking to us and telling us how grateful she was. And everyone started crying without even understanding what she was saying. Just the feeling of it.
Yeah.
It was something I can't explain in words.
Yeah.
But it was amazing.
It's amazing when you actually get to touch lives. And then you get to see the life that you touched.
Mm-hmm.
It is an amazing experience. Yeah.
It is. And we couldn't have done all of that without the help of so many people throughout the way, including you guys for letting us come here and talk about the event, which is something, like I said, the time I came, we plan to do every year.
Right.
But yes, as you said, like actually going there and seeing this happening live, it's such a privilege because I get to see exactly where the funds go and how they're being utilized.
Right. So it's definitely something we're going to participate it again when it comes around. We talked about it.
When the time comes.
In the spring or something like that, you said?
Yes. So the next event will be happening next year, maybe March or April.
Mm-hmm.
I'll keep you all updated.
Yeah.
Great.
So, we'll have you come back on again. But I have this feeling that that this isn't the only cause that you're going to wind up with. So.
Yes, I'm very involved when it comes to community. It's my drive and my purpose.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm involved with different organizations. The main focus right now for me is Operation Smile.
Right. Mm. Yeah.
Yep.
Another operation I do is called the Habitat of... Damn it, my phone.
Turn your phones off.
My phone's off already.
That's probably my...
All right, I was going to say this again. Another operation I do is called the Habitat for Humanity, where I go through... I've been to two now. I've been to Africa, and I've been to Cambodia. Both of those places, and the people there are just really nice, really friendly, and needed our support of helping homes. The fact that people, and again, people were really blessed of our help, because not many of these people needed help to, you know, help basically... how to use a hammer, how to use, those kind of things. In Cambodia, where I went, was very interesting. A lot of stores there, a lot of places, well, mostly places to go during times. And, of course, the big Angkor Wat there. Museum has been, the museum is... If you want to go, you gotta go. If you even want to get the chance to, I know funding can be pretty interesting. But the when we went there, we had the tax deductible from our from Habitat, and we had the meals. So it's all contributed by Habitat of Humanity. So, it was a good experience. Met a lot of people there. We started doing a school, and we started building a water facility. So a water storage for kids to drink, and more good. But excuse me.
Is that what you do in Habitat for Humanity? You build
Build homes for people, So there are a bunch of groups there. And, of course, you go online, habitatforhumanity.com. That's the global one. There is a canadian.ca version. And you search on through Global Village, where they tell you where the next projects are going to be around the world. So they had a pumping station where they provide water through, and it's not part of Habitat. It was called Global. Oh, I can't remember what it was. It was a different organization, Global whatever it was, but it was they built that for the school, and then we built the pipes through Habitat for Humanity. So it was a great experience for myself too. So.
I think that's something very important, to get involved with community and projects that you're passionate about. So whether it will be, building homes for people or helping out children that need to get surgery, just whatever aligns with your purpose, then you should go after it.
It's exactly what it is. Is we have to, when you figure out what your purpose is, you can align yourself to the projects. On my end of things, I'm usually the guy. I'm still here at filming the events, photographing the events to help fundraise for you guys to go to Cambodia, Africa, North,
South America.
South America. Thank you. because there was an event in Whistler that I got to participate in. It was an economic summit, but at the end of the summit, the goal was to find out how to help a town in South Africa. And I was trying to explain to somebody the other day, a future guest, how remote this thing is, this town is. It's in South Africa, which is known to be built up.
Yeah.
But they still have these really remote places, and this town's called Birknik. And I told him, I said, I'm going to give you a few days to try to Google search this town. And it's like, and I don't think you will find it.
Really?
No, because it doesn't show up.
It doesn't show up. Is it a small town?
It's a very small village.
A small village.
The work that we did at the Economic Summit helped bring companies together to, as Kelly was talking about, the pumping station.
Mm-hmm.
It brought a diesel
Well, it was a
pump.
Different provider.
It was a different provider. Yeah. But mm-hmm. it brought a diesel water pump into the town.
Wow.
It brought an engineer who helped them build a vertical farm, which is actually was made out of recycled bottles.
Hmm.
It's like they have they're growing crops instead of growing outward in the ground, because they had limited ground to grow crops.
Yes.
It's going upwards in the air. It's because they don't have power for hydroponics,
mm-hmm.
like some of the hot houses that we have here. You have power for them. They don't have power, so they actually had to use the sun's own power
mm-hmm.
to grow these crops.
And
how they have food.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And how did this project come about? Was it someone that was involved with the community there?
There's a business in, it's based in Whistler, and I know the founder of the organization. It's called Citizens Media, mm-hmm. and you can go to them and submit a project, and then they help you find a way to make the project happen for the community you're mm-hmm. trying to affect.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, and they give money to those people who are going to be on the ground.
Yes, yes. And so, that's so great, because you can see the impact that we're a global village, right? Mm-hmm. And we can see the impact that a community here can have in a super remote community in South Africa.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. So it you know, and I do, my thing is, because you asked me to go to the fundraiser for Operation Smile, and the reason why I said yes is because I knew that one of you guys were going to be on the ground to help it.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, well, who is this about? Mm-hmm. And it's like I will only photograph or video projects that are actually going to be on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's organizations out there that they hit the government, and then nothing ever happens.
Hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So yeah, I don't want to get into too many specifics about that sort of thing, but
we can talk about that for
yeah.
hours.
Yeah. So, it's good. It's like I get excited to hear you guys come back and tell the stories, because I've done some stuff for photo events for Habitat Humanities also.
Oh, for Habitat for Humanity
yeah,
as
yeah.
well.
Mm.
Yeah. Very cool. I can also tell you that when I went there, it wasn't only for Operation Smile. So it was also for SOS Children's Villages. Mm-hmm. And these are kids that are orphans. And they go to these small houses where they have either a mom or a dad
yeah.
taking care of them. And they are about 8 children living in each house. So we went to visit 4 different locations, and we got to meet the children. And it was a very humbling experience, because a lot of them don't have parents or don't have family, whenever they see you, they just want to hug you and like not let go of you, because they know you're going to visit them.
Mm-hmm.
And just hearing their stories and how helpful having a community for them is. So they call each other brother and sister, and they call the person that takes care of them more mom, dad, or auntie
yeah.
as well. And whenever they are, it's basically, I wouldn't say a program, but they are there until they're about 18 years old.
Right.
And after that, they go out into the real world.
Yeah.
But they still have the support from their community. So it was really cool, because I met this one guy. He was about 21 years old, and he was there to help with the sound system when we did an event. And that guy was part of Azul's children's village as he grew up with them. Excuse me. And he grew up with them, and now he was studying to become a doctor. And when I asked him why he was studying that, he said because he wanted to help out the children of future generations at operations at SOS Children's Villages.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's something that, we kind of take for granted here in Canada. It's like, oh, well, there's a ministry of children and family, right? And we think that everybody should have that, but it doesn't always exist. Mm-hmm. You know, the kids need support just as much as anything else.
Mm-hmm. So I've got the information on Habitat, www.habitat.ca. That's the Canadian Habitat for Humanity. And also, there's also a website for Global Village Habitat, globalvillage.ca, where you can search on through information on globalization to help people and stuff like that. Yeah. So I'm going to take a break. Sorry to interrupt, but I'm going to take a break. Mm-hmm. We're going to be back in a moment to talk more with, what's her name? Laura Guzman.
What's her name? It's Laura Guzman.
I just have to search through the computer here. Laura Guzman, who is the Operation Smiles. We'll be back with more with her in just a moment here. And, of course, you're tuned into the Community Living Show on the NCRA Radio Networks. I'm Kelly, along with Michael Rubin. We'll be back in a moment. Okay. The Global Accessibility Awareness Day is on the third Thursday of May of every year. The community and campus stations across Canada are hosting inclusive radio about accessibility, self-advocacy, adapted technology, and more. Contact your local stations to find out more.
Liveband.com is Vancouver's community-driven concert calendar. New shows are added daily by the city's most active promoters, musicians, and by the driving force of the music scene, the fans. Liveband.com's listings are different because they are integrated with profiles updated by bands and business owners as they promote upcoming events. Check out the archives to see how closely we've worked within the community to put on the shows you love. Visit livemusicvancouver.com for the latest independent and major label event listings. Liveband.com, Vancouver's community-driven concert calendar.
This Sunday, September 25th, Vancouver, right? Live at Wood Studio with special guest Rape is Real and Everywhere. For the past year, Alex Burad and Simon Armstrong Show has been a clubhouse for all things Vancouver comedy. For the first time, you can be there in person for every riff, burn, and flub, featuring Gavin Clarkson, Alex Burad, and Simon Armstrong. This evening also features Rape is Real and Everywhere, comedians who have survived rape sharing their experiences with hilarity, cathartic honesty, and old-fashioned vulnerability, featuring Emma Cooper, Amanda Smith, Mark Hughes, and Shane Clark. This Sunday, September 25th at Wood Studio, doors at 7:30. Tickets on evanbright.com.
You're tuned into the Community Living Show here on the NCRA Radio Networks. Kelly Rayburn here along with Michael Rubin, and we're talking to Laura Guzman. On
you got it right.
I hope I said it right. We're talking to Laura Guzman, who is, you're not actually a chairperson of Operation Smiles, am I right?
I will say I'm part of the team. I'm a...
There we go.
Volunteer for them.
Just
right
a volunteer now. For the Operation Smiles. That's very interesting.
Ambassador.
Ambassador. Yeah. Good to know. But you also done a lot of Miss pageants as well.
Yes. I've been involved in pageants for the past 4 years.
Nice.
Yeah.
So, Michael, what are your questions? More questions to her?
Well, it seems because you said you were picked among people to actually get to go to South America and Nicaragua. So it sounds like the... Both your pageant life and your volunteer life were fairly successful.
Yes, I was picked between 65 girls because of all the work that I've done in the community and all the work that I've done with Operation Smile to actually go on the mission trip.
Mm. Yeah. That's important to bring up because most people figured that it's like, oh, I volunteer. It's just more like a wasted time sort of thing. Mm. But you're sitting here to say that, no, that's not true. It can be heart-touching and things, right?
I think it depends whatever you take it. I think, like I'm saying, being involved in community is very, very important. Mm-hmm. And some people do it once a week and they go and they do an activity with someone else, like taking an elderly to walk out. That's very valuable. What I've been doing with Operation Smile has progressed. So I started doing small events as a volunteer. Mm-hmm. And then bigger and bigger, it started getting bigger. And now I am in talks with the actual board members to become almost like a part of it, right? So now we're talking about the event that's going to be coming up next year. And next year is with the actual organization. So it's with Operation Smile. Not like the one that we put together, like all of us, like yeah. last time we did, mm-hmm. but with them, right?
Right.
So we're starting to delegate more of these responsibilities to me. And that's how I feel. I feel like whenever you work with a company and they trust you, then you can advance. So it's the same kind of thing with these organizations that people decide to get involved in. And it depends where you take it. It depends what your goals are. And how involved you want to get.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how involved do you want to get with this?
Very involved.
Very involved.
Very. Okay.
Like I'm saying, for me, something that is extremely important. And I've seen the results that an operation can have on people. So it's something that I've taken in my heart, and I'm going to go full force.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, you can tell by the way when you start telling the story, your posture changes and everything. It's like I didn't bring it. One day, Kelly, we're actually going to bring the film camera in.
Sure, yeah.
Okay, that day I'm not going to wear sneakers with a dress then.
Yeah. Well, hey, no one can see that just yet.
No, of course not.
But it was just some of the facial expressions and things that people get when we're actually interviewing them, when they're telling the story. And your facial expressions and everything changed, your posture changed because mm-hmm. because you can tell that it touched your life. Mm-hmm. And if something, usually touching lives goes both ways.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you were telling mm-hmm. the story about handing a baby back to the mother.
Mm. And that was like, powerful. Yeah. That was a very meaningful moment for me and for her, of course.
Mm-hmm. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah, no, I know what you mean. Like with body language, you're able to tell mm-hmm. how the person is feeling sometimes. So maybe you guys should bring a camera here so people can see it.
Yeah, it's not like I don't have tons of cameras.
Exactly.
Around, right?
It's like your forte.
Yeah. So, but it's important work. What Kelly does with Habitat for Humanities, you go at least once a year, right?
Every so often, but when we do get the chance to get the money for it, we do eventually go.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
it also depends, like, on fundraising and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, but fundraising is extremely important. Even the trip I took walking across BC,
mm-hmm.
Just for
and Alberta,
for me to, yeah,
you
yeah.
went to Alberta too,
yeah,
so
to Camor. Went as far as Camor, Alberta.
Walking across BC and Alberta,
yeah,
how
yeah.
was that?
It was pretty exciting because of why we went. We went for awareness for hidden illnesses like fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue, chronic pain. Things like that, people that don't realize it. It's like for that person who parks in a handicapped spot because they just can't mm-hmm. walk that far this particular day because it just hurts too much.
It hurts so much, huh?
Yeah. It to let people know that, hey, there's a reason why that person parked there. They didn't just steal their grandmother's pass and park there. Yes. It's like there's a reason why they have it, you know. But, you know, I watched some of the lives that we touched where it's like, hey, you know, my mother has that. Or it's like, yeah, just the other day somebody criticized me because I parked in the handicap, you know.
And people don't understand, yeah.
Yeah, and they don't the whole understanding of it. So, but they took cameras and everything to capture a lot of that stuff. So
you were creating awareness towards this.
Yeah.
I think we need to become a little bit more accepting. You know, sometimes we just tend to look at the surface and we say, "Oh, I assume that this person is not suffering. So why are they parking there? Or why are they doing this or that?" Right. Yeah. When we don't know what's going inside of them. We don't know the pain that they may be experiencing. And it's the same with mental illness as well.
Yes.
Right.
Mental illness is very much the same.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's hidden. Depression.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all the people know is, oh, well, he's just acting abnormal, mm-hmm. but they don't know what's going on inside of that person's head, mm-hmm. you know, so.
Yeah, the other day, actually, if I can share a very quick story, a friend of mine was telling me how she started dating this guy. And so in the first dates, it was a little bit, like they couldn't really talk about anything. It was just very superficial, right? Mm-hmm. And then on her third date, she asked him, I can't remember the exact question, but it was like, can you tell me about your past? And like, how are you doing? And this guy started crying because he said that no one had asked him that for the longest time. So he just went through life, just living very, you know, superficial. Yeah. And then when someone actually asked him that, I just feel that we need to make more spaces for people to actually feel comfortable talking about themselves and talking about what they're going through instead of having so many stigmas around that. Mm-hmm. Right?
Sometimes that can be just as profound as, you know, providing somebody with clean water, providing a child with a hug, because it's just as important as providing the community with clean water and the SOS children.
Mm.
It's like all they wanted was somebody to give them a hug because they didn't have any family.
Having human interaction. Yeah. I remember there was this one girl and she held my hand during the whole time, because we were doing like a small tour of all the houses, and she actually held my hand and she wouldn't let go, right? And then when I was gonna get in the car, she's like, can you please take me with you? So it's so important to have human connection.
How'd that feel?
Just imagine how I felt. I wanted to bring her with me, but of course I couldn't. Mm-hmm. But then it just gave me more drive to do more for them, you know, because they need our help and we can help them.
Yeah.
You're tuned into the Community Living Show on the NCRA Radio Networks. And of course, we're tuned to CFRO Co-op Radio and CITR 101.9 FM. Both stations, both are operated by the NCRA Radio Networks. We're talking to Laura Guzman, who is a volunteer for Operation Smiles. Michael, do you have any final thoughts?
We do need to get the contact information for Operation Smiles, because people are going to want to donate.
Yep.
Or, you know.
Absolutely. What I can do is send you guys the link so we can post it on the site and post it on the Facebook page.
Yeah.
And I will share all of that with you. And my last words, because I think we're...
Yeah.
will be to encourage everyone to get involved in community with something they're passionate about. You don't understand how much impact one person can have, whether it will be, you know, doing a massive event or taking someone out for a walk. And like we're saying, giving someone a hug. Mm-hmm. You can make an impact in another person's life. So make sure you do it. Get out and do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Nice. I know this is we are live on CITR, and of course, so I've just thank you very much for coming in, Laura Guzman. It's been a pleasure. How they get a chance to get a hold of you?
Through my social media. So I have an official page, which is in Facebook, which is Laura Guzman. So Guzman, it's G-U-Z-M-A-N. And my Instagram is LAU_Viviana. So like Vivian, but with an A at the end.
Mm-hmm.
So through those two things, they can get in contact with me.
Yeah. Interesting. All right. So you have tuned in to the Community Living Show, but we got about like 3 more minutes just to make an announcement.
Well, one of the things that we'll let you get to that in a second.
Yeah, okay.
One of our future guests is going to be talking about Parkinson's. So, and he was a former lead guitarist for a famous rock band. So. We look forward to seeing that in the next couple weeks.
Nice.
And we have somebody else coming on next week that is going to talk to about employment and disabilities. So, yeah.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you ride public transit like I do, I know you don't because you own your own car, right? Am I right, Michael?
Sometimes I do actually take transit.
Okay, for that matter.
I have a compass card in my wallet.
Okay, you do have a compass card. Okay. There are some changes to SkyTrain on October 22nd. Normally, when we ride on SkyTrain, we both ride on version of the Expo line and the Millennium line. That's all going to change on October 22nd because the Millennium line's not going to be shared with the Expo line. For one, and the second one is the Millennium Line is going to do its own regular route. So both Expo Line will end up at Production Way University and, of course, in Surrey. So both SkyTrain directions there that are going to go because of the opening of the Evergreen Line is coming up pretty soon. Mm-hmm. That's why SkyTrain has to make some of the changes to that. So October 22nd cool. is the day where they make the changes. You can go to the website translink.ca/SkyTrain changes.
So that's in about a month, right?
It's about a month, yeah. That's for sure. Awesome. So if anybody takes transit on a regular basis, that's what's happening with our SkyTrain system. So thank you very much, Laura Guzman. Yeah,
thank you, guys.
We'll be back again next week. Excuse me. And we'll leave you with the Radio Disney version of Angel of Death by Slayer. Thank you very much. We will be back next week.
Next week.
Yep.
Bye.
Bye-bye for now.
Angel of inside your brain. Pressure in your skull begins pushing through your eyes. Burning flesh drips away. Intestine heat burns your skin, your mind starts to boil. Frigid cold cracks your limbs. How long can you last in this frozen water burial? Sewn together, joining heads. Just a matter of time till you rip yourselves apart. Millions laying out in their crowded tombs. Sickening ways to achieve the Holocaust.